This is Laura Deirdre with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Jason Joseph, Chief Digital and Information Officer at Corewell Health. Jason, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast today.
Likewise, thanks Laura for having me.
Now, I know we have a lot to talk about. There's certainly a lot happening in the health IT space right now, and especially thinking about all the different opportunities there are in digital health and how digital transformation is really taking center stage with many health system strategies. But before we dive into my questions, can you tell me a little bit more about yourself and your background?
Sure. I actually started my career as an electrical engineer, believe it or not, and worked kind of into the technology side via software development. I had a few different jobs and then made the dramatic career error of getting into healthcare kind of in the technology side of things. And that was in 06. And I have had a lot of different jobs kind of in the technology focused area of care delivery, inpatient, outpatient, our health plan. And, that progression just led me to the CIO job of Spectrum Health back in 2018 when we had some leadership transition. And most recently with our integration between Spectrum Health and Beaumont Health, which created Corewell Health, had the opportunity to lead that organization as the Chief Digital and Information Officer. So it's been quite a journey. Lots of fun, as I like to tell people. You want to get have a crazy time in your career, mix healthcare and technology and buckle up.
I love that. I think it's definitely such a great way to describe everything that's gone on, especially over the last few years. And then I can imagine too for you, especially with the combination, as you said, of Spectrum and Beaumont becoming Corewell. As you've gone through this process in really over the last few years, you know, what's it been like to bring together those two systems under this new brand of Corewell and really from the technology side, get everything together? I can imagine there's a lot to do and a lot that you have to think through when you're putting together two different systems.
You know, we got out of the gate pretty fast with this because we knew, you know, first there are two large systems within the state of Michigan. We also have the second largest health plan in the state. And a big part of what we wanted to do was create an integrated system because of our geographic relative proximity. We don't have any overlap really, but we did have proximity. And so, you know, integration of our technology was a really important part of our strategy because we wanted really to get to a common brand, a common perspective across the state, and then have that operational experience mirror that, right? Nothing is more frustrating than when you expect things to be connected and seamless and you pull open the covers and you realize they're not at all. And so we knew that was a priority. We set that stage with our board right out of the gates and wound up with a pretty comprehensive enterprise technology plan almost from day one. I mean, we wound up with approval within 6 months of our formal integration date and then really started work on that immediately. And we're now months away from go live of our first integrated Epic site in our South region, and in July plan to go live with Epic. And we call it One Epic Ecosystem actually because it's much broader. It's about 153 other third parties that are also being standardized. And of course, that's a little bit of the capstone because prerequisite to all of this has been our infrastructure and our cybersecurity capabilities and our communications and Office 365 Microsoft environments and all of the things that we need to do like ERP and shared services to get to the point where we can even do this. So it has been a very aggressive schedule. I'm sure our teams can definitely attest to that, but they're doing amazing work and we're really focused on kind of getting over the finish line. There's still going to be some work to do for sure, even once we bring these final capabilities to bear, but it's really going to set the stage for all the things that we know that we're going to be able to do as a system in the future by having that kind of operational layer and the way we run our organization be consistent across the entire state.
That's great to hear. And certainly I appreciate, you know, all the different aspects in considerations you have to have as you're working through this type of combination into a common brand and really bringing everyone together. Now, considering where you're at today, are there any other top priorities that you have right now? What's really top of mind for you?
Well, obviously, the integration work remains our top of mind. We actually have quite a bit of work that we're doing even inside of our health plan to prepare for continued growth there. So even as we're doing a lot of this work on the care delivery side, there's work that we're going to be doing to modernize and bring some of our systems forward on our health plan as well. We also have quite a focus on digital and virtual care. And that's one of the things that's most exciting about getting onto common platforms, because you can roll out new programs and operating models and not have to do it 2, 3, 4, 10 different ways. We can have a platform that we can roll these programs and capabilities out on. So that's a big part of it. And then, you know, as you bring organizations together, there's just a lot around the culture and the way you do work that we're still in the process of aligning. And so those are things like making sure that the way we execute on projects and bringing our agile software and technology program methodologies to bear at a larger scale. So I think our portfolio of projects right now has in the neighborhood of 150 to 200 projects that are happening on any given day, from bringing on new facilities and adding to our ambulatory footprint, to advancing some of our service lines and integrating physicians. It's just always a full plate at Corewell Health, but I don't think we'd have it any other way.
I love it. It's definitely great to have all that ability and possibility opening up, especially as you were talking through with some of the digital and virtual care, and then to easily or more easily than you would otherwise be able to put that all together in one platform and bring it to the entire system. And thank you so much as well for talking through some of the cultural things that you're working on. I know that's a huge undertaking as well as the technology side of things. So when you have all that in mind, how do you see the health system evolving over the next 2 to 3 years or so? What do you really anticipate? You know, will how will things change and move? And would just love to hear from you kind of the way you're thinking through the next 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, you know, I think healthcare is going to continue to evolve quite a bit over the next couple of years. Systems are going to continue to grow. We're going to adapt. We're going to push into areas where we can provide additional value, whether that's through value-based care arrangements, which is a big part of where we see ourselves in the future as a system with our integration of both care and coverage. But also, you know, just thinking about new models of care, ways to deliver high quality, great outcomes at a more efficient way, get things to scale, because we know that, you know, clinical staffing is always in a crunch. And, you know, we're going to continue to see that challenge for the foreseeable future. So how do we bring things to bear that will help with that efficiency and allow us to scale? But on the technology side, that means things like adopting even more cloud. So we've been, as part of our integration work, certainly moving things to the cloud and SaaS where we can, but we need to continue to push in that direction as we further consolidate technology platforms. And a lot of that just has to do with our belief that you can't have a efficient, seamless experience if the foundation and the things underpinning it are complex and disintegrated. And so we want to make sure that our kind of the surface reflects the reality underneath. And that means moving more and more to the cloud, allowing us to get the efficiencies and scalability of that. Certainly focusing on automation, leveraging AI is going to be a huge piece of that. We're already seeing benefits to that in our system as we're starting to adopt some of those capabilities. More integration between our care and coverage arms. We have quite a bit today, but that's just going to be an area where more and more, I think, our patients and our members are expecting, you know, even greater value by being part of a core system, and making sure that we can continue to expand and grow on the digital and virtual care technologies that are going to continue to evolve. I think that's really a frontier of how we think about care delivery in the future, of not everything kind of come to us, but bringing that care model to our patients and members whenever we can. And that's going to be more and more technology and connectivity at its core. So we're pretty excited about getting to that point. Right now, it probably feels a lot like we're doing that foundational build, right? It's like that phase where you've got the framing in and you're doing the drywall. It's not quite as cool as being able to move in and start doing all the finishing steps in your house where you can actually live in it. But we see that future just right over the horizon, which we're really excited about.
That's great to hear. And certainly, you know, it's just so interesting to kind of see how the system is going to that more, as you mentioned, integrative model. and be able to have both the coverage arm as well as the care arm put together. And I know you mentioned artificial intelligence too. How are you thinking about that at Corewell? What is the conversations around that look like? Are people excited? Are people mostly nervous? What has worked well when you think about AI and where are you continuing to double down efforts?
Yeah, I think AI definitely, I'm not going to argue that it's not a bit overhyped in terms of, that it's going to solve all the problems of the universe. I think people are excited about it, and rightfully so, and probably a little bit nervous, and rightfully so. We're using it in areas where we're being very pragmatic about it, right? Not trying to boil the ocean or think that we have to renovate everything, but looking for those use cases where, whether it's generative AI or computer vision or just really integrated applications with AI at its core, can help move things forward. And that's from, the clinical side, where we can really improve some efficiency. We're adopting our core vendors' tools, and this is where part of our strategy to leverage platforms that are best in class and/or cloud-based is really going to help. So you can adopt those things. We're rolling out the Microsoft 365 Copilot right now, with a core group of folks. And it's just really powerful from the efficiencies you can get in your day-to-day work. But that's kind of your back office administrative side. And on the front lines, we're seeing the same type of capabilities where we think about, the ability to use the ambient listening, for example, in the care delivery process, which has been proven to be very, very successful for us, as well as, just creating some efficiencies and responding to in-basket messages and those kind of things. And that steady march of capabilities is coming to us. So I don't necessarily see that we're going to be, hiring a fleet of data scientists and building our own large language models from scratch. But certainly, I do see us adopting capabilities and certainly training some models on some capabilities that we're going to need in the future. Just even simple things like how our help desk and our service desk operates for technology and HR and some of those things. Anything where you've got a big knowledge base and you can train a model on it really becomes a powerful way to shift from having to have people answering all these things that allowing the AI to do a good chunk of that for us. And so I think that's our path. I would lie, if anybody is saying that they're way down this path, I think they're probably not being fully truthful, but we're certainly on the path. And I think we're moving pretty quickly down it with opportunities that make sense for us, while also understanding that we have to balance the risks, right? Because anytime you bring this stuff forward, it has a tendency to not always be 100% accurate. And so we need to make sure that we've got the right approaches and human checks and balances in place for those.
That makes a lot of sense and definitely a great way to look at things and good perspective to have. Now, before we wrap up here, I'm wondering, could you tell us about one change that you or your team has made recently that yielded great results?
Yeah, I think, we've probably changed hundreds of things, even recently within our integration work, that have yielded huge value. I mean, sometimes just financial value to the system, where we've reduced some costs by integrating things or created more capabilities at the same cost at our infrastructure level from a cyber maturity. But one area that we've made a real impact is just by bringing our quality programs together. By looking at how we manage the data across our entire system, making that process quicker so we can get those results quicker and in real time, making it more actionable, we've seen measurable improvements in our overall quality scores across the board, which is just a really, really cool and practical, tangible way of seeing how data and technology and moving that to the front of people's minds so that they can see it and interact with the data can actually drive improvements that really make a difference in people's lives and help save lives and improve outcomes every day. So that's why we're here at the end of the day. It's fun to work with new technology. It's challenging for sure to work in the healthcare business, if you will, this industry. But why we're all here is really because we get to work with saving people and making people's lives better on a daily basis. And whenever we get to do that and see the direct output of how technology enables that, it's very rewarding.
I love that. It definitely seems like an extremely beneficial way to kind of look at your resources and making sure, as you said, the quality of care is being driven up and the patient experience is top-notch. So Jason, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. This has been such a fun and interesting discussion, and I look forward to connecting with you again soon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.